This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
And now that heart is beating fast, and that's the rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I've got a chance to, that one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning, let it rain. Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight, we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble on drum. Beat out old trouble on drum. Beat out old trouble on drum and kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum and kick old trouble out the door. Kick him 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 out the
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. We have an extraordinary guest at a great cost to the radio station. We will talk about a fee later on. Sophie, I'm not going to introduce you now. Daryl.
Joe.
What's going on?
There's plenty of mayhem and confusion this afternoon.
Oh, was there ever? Yeah. We had this guest, then we had that guest, then we had this guest, and then the gods shun their sun on us. And Sophie Prince has come into the studio. How are you, Sophie?
Oh, I'm delighted. This is lovely. This is really unexpected. Surprise,
is it?
No, which is what a surprise is, I suppose.
Some people call it therapy, Sophie.
Therapy?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I don't know. Some people got the wrong idea about therapy, I think.
Yeah, look, the good thing is you won't get a bill from me at the end of this.
Oh, okay, Dr. Joe.
That's all right. Now, Sophie, I understand you have been bestowed a great honour.
I have.
You are the co-host of the Critical Comedy Festival, which is on this Saturday and Sunday. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So what is that? What do you do? Do you just throw people off the stage who aren't funny?
No. In a better world, perhaps. No, Festival of Critical Comedy.
So I got it wrong. It was not the Critical Comedy. It's the Festival of Critical Comedy.
Think FOC. Festival of
FOC.
FOC. Festival of Critical Comedy. It's its third year running. It's growing. It's getting better.
Uh-huh.
The first year round, we were going to call it the Carnival of Critical Comedy.
Carnival.
But that's spelt cock.
Cock. Obviously, so, there was a feminist backlash, was there?
No one spotted it.
No.
But anyway, it's
you must all be old if nobody spotted it.
Yeah, just a bit dull, I think.
You know, it's the undergraduate type of humour. You'd pick up the cock, wouldn't you?
You would think so, but yeah, I guess, I don't know, for whatever reason we didn't. But produced by Awkward Giraffe, which is a story unto itself. And
And I understand they are doing a great thing to all our listeners. They've opened the doors for free. Is that correct?
Yes, we have. It's more we're administratively lazy than charitable, I think.
No. Hang on. You're great people. You did it for the good of the community, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We just did not want anybody to miss out for fiscal reasons.
And I understand that Jeremy Dixon is also... Has he got his serving of, alcohol license yet, or is he still working on it?
I think it's an ongoing saga.
Is it?
I think it's close.
It's close.
I think the agreement was that a lot of us would get this license.
Yes.
And perhaps only one or two of us have. So it's BYO or there'll be someone... Serving drinks.
Responsibly, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
There any other way? Yeah.
Yes, there is other ways. We're good. So what's your role?
What's my role? Well, I have been the MC for last year, and I'm co-emceeing it this year. And I've also got a show that opens it called Apophenia.
Apophenia.
Yeah. And there's a bad art installation as well. So
right,
I'll be.
Bad art.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Bad art makes money these days. You know that. You can tape a banana to a wall and get $9 million for it. Are we going to get any of that type of bad art?
I'm not sure that anyone's going to offer us some. Any money for the bad art, but if they do, they're welcome to.
They're welcome to.
Yeah, right. I know. It's you don't even really have to say bad art these days. You just
Most art is bad.
Well, everything's up for debate. That's the whole nature of the festival, is that, you know, hopefully.
So what happens if people in the audience get up during a gig and start interjecting and carrying on?
Well,
do we chuck them out or what?
Oh, we don't have security as such.
Hey, don't tell them that.
the ground will open up and they'll be swallowed. Look, it's just one of those things where we'll just take it as it comes, really.
Take it as it comes, right.
You know, I don't think in Australia most people don't heckle as a rule anyway, unless they're really pissed or they have some yearning to.
That's why you've got an alcohol license for the first time, isn't it? So people get pissed and heckled.
Yeah,
is that what's it all about?
That's kind of not the aim.
Oh, right.
But like we're kind of open for all possibilities.
How about if you go nude? Can you go nude?
Well, you can. I prefer if people were dressed.
Right.
We haven't set any rules.
There's no dress rules. That's what I'm trying to. You don't have to wear a tuxedo or something.
No, absolutely not. Right. Naked might be a bit distracting for.
Right.
Well, it's a bit cool probably slip on some jocks
at
least.
I've been a doctor for 50 years and I've seen a lot of naked bodies, and I can tell you I've got no attraction to naked bodies because most of us. 99.9% aren't, you know, the pin-up types, are we?
Yeah, look, clothes were invented for a reason.
They were for a reason, yeah. So where is this happening?
It's happening at the Melbourne Unitarian Memorial Peace Church.
I think it's the Melbourne Unitarian Peace Memorial Church.
Oh, close. I got it.
It's like close. I got it wrong, the festival of whatever, you know. But
So that's 110 Grey Street in East Melbourne. So it's just a stroll through Fitzroy Gardens.
That's just down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, so and it's a full 2-day event. Like, doors open at 1 and the shows start at 2. We got incredible acts. We got Ridiculousness.
Could you pronounce that again?
Ridiculousness.
Mouse.
Oh, it's not miss.
Miss.
Ridiculousness. Yes.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Look, this is unbelievable. I've actually been able to pronounce a word, Sophie.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for making me look good. Who else have we got? Well, why are they ridiculous?
You'll have to come and see, but like hugely entertaining, wildly funny, probably the most experienced. Oh, we've got Greg Fleet. He's a very experienced comic.
He's Greg Fleet?
Oh, he's this dude that says, he's got a show called This Time I'm Really Sorry. So
what's he sorry about? We have to find out. We have to go to the show to find out.
I have to go. Oh, Shirley Hood. I'm so excited.
Oh, we've interviewed Shirley on this program.
Well, Shirley's the reason I'm here. I thought I was coming here to meet Shirley, and I was really excited. I was like, fantastic. I haven't seen Shirley for ages. And Shirley's a person who you don't organise to meet.
No,
you run into.
That's right.
So I first met Shirley about 13 years ago at the top, the other end of Smith Street.
All right.
I was running a little open mic night, and she was sheepishly standing behind.
Excuse me, could you use that word to describe Shirley again? Sheepishly? She was sheepishly.
I know, okay? She was holding back.
You've radicalised her.
They warned me about you just at the reception. we had a little sign like calling out for comics, and two people rocked up, and I'm ashamed about this. I assumed it was the bloke asking for a spot, but it was Shira Lee, but she was standing behind him and holding her cards.
Well, she is small. You may not have seen her.
Well, she was holding her cards very close to her chest, and then when I realised it was Shirley that was the comic, I felt really apologetic. But then, and then she came in. We did a we did a show back then called Should We Hypothetically Kill the PM? And that was Tony Abbott at the time. Surely. Well,
what a waste of energy.
Oh, thanks.
What a waste of energy.
How long have we... 7 minutes.
What a waste of energy. Why would you bother?
Well...
Just let him kill himself by opening his mouth.
Okay. Okay, fair point. We had a crack. Well, why would we bother? Because it was fun. It was cathartic.
Fun,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And, you realise these days the federal police be knocking on your doors. The laws have changed. Everybody's paranoid. Comics are in for it too.
Oh, yeah, already. And the shits rose to the top, like everywhere, with everything. Mm. But anyway, that's what we did, and that's where I met Shirley. And then the next time I ran into Shirley was on the bus back from I live in Mildura, and I was flying to Melbourne just to catch up with some friends. And I went, that's Shirley, I swear that's Shirley. And then when we got, like... to fly back from Mildura, like we get a runway like so far out the back of the airport that you need a bus from where the plane lands to the terminal.
Right.
And that's where I ran into, and she was like, yeah, it was lovely, lovely.
Can I ask a personal question, Sophie?
Go on.
You live in Mildura.
I do.
What do you tell people you do? If they ask you, and I say, what do you do, Sophie?
I just say I got a day job.
You got a... Do you tell them what the day job is?
Not usually.
Yeah. I don't think there's much.
It funds my art.
It funds your art. So why are you living in Mildura?
Oh, because the Melbourne lockdowns did my head in.
Yeah.
So I was in a share house that had more people than it should have. And these are people that are used to going out and doing
things
like gigs and stuff.
Yeah. So they were entertaining each other.
Oh, it just, yeah. Anyway, I got a notice to leave. It was pushing.
Excuse me. It was COVID, and they chucked you out, your flatmates.
No, the house. I'd lived there for 14 years. It was like one of those old, like long term share houses in Northcote, and I was kind of the last tenant standing. And my cat died. I love this cat so much.
I've got a cat.
Anyway,
yeah. 27. Good friends. My only friend is my cat.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a big loss. Leaves a hole when they go.
Because they don't care. You could be a mass murderer. As long as you feed them, they don't care, do they?
Oh, no. I think Oscar held me to pretty high standards. I think so. He threatened to leave if I was killing people, I think.
Did he?
Well, it depends what people, I think.
You did a comedy show about poor old Tony. I mean, isn't that enough for him to walk away from you?
Oh, Oscar, no. Oscar, he moved in with me. He was a stray
Do you collect strays?
What, romantically?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, not anymore.
You learnt.
Yeah.
I've got acquired
wisdom. But, pretty much strays were my type.
Look, we want people to come to the comedy festival. We don't want them to get depressed.
I can't guarantee that about that.
No, I asked you to write a few words about yourself for the podcast, Daryl. You know what she wrote?
What?
She wrote, disorganized, hopeful, cynic. She's a disorganized, hopeful cynic.
Great.
He's lost for words. I've never chatted to a disorganized, hopeful cynic. Usually they're disorganized and cynical, but there's no hopefulness in the middle.
I do have hope. My hope is that none of this is real.
What, life?
Yep. Uh-huh. That this is a dimension, like just like a failed simulation.
Failed simulation.
And that, at the end of it, we'll just go, well, thank fuck that's over. But at the same time, I relish in the beauty of it as well.
Yeah. You know, when we're full of our own self-importance, which a lot of people accuse me of being, I think to myself, if you think you're important, think of this little fact. There are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth. It just really, like it said, what's the point?
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really wild. He's taking pictures. He's taking pictures for the podcast. She was a bit worried there. We're going to kidnap you and then hold you for ransom.
No, I saw one of your talks at the Footscray Hotel.
Did you?
I did. Helen Child. I had a meeting with Helen Child.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I came along and you were doing this talk. Mm. I felt like I needed to take notes. I was just like, this is incredible. It was.
That's very kind.
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass so you'd give me an easy time. I'm just stating a fact.
I'm not giving you an easy time, whether you believe.
You haven't given me a hard time yet, and I'd been warned that you would, and we're 12
excuse
minutes
me, excuse
in.
Excuse me, my bark is worse than my bite.
Seemingly so.
But you've come in, you've basically come in to spruik a weekend of comedy.
Critical comedy,
and you want people to turn up and enjoy themselves. And if they can't afford it, fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where else in the world would that happen? There's a huge range of interesting people and some boring people, but mostly interesting comedians. You know?
No, we've got some boring ones too. Yeah. We've got the whole range. Yeah. Like, we want to cover all the fields. So we've got really experienced people. We've got people that have not even done 5 minutes.
What? We've done, amateurs?
Yeah. Oh. We've done, we'll feed people. We'll
what, for free?
It's donation.
Donation. Extraordinary. You're kind of a throwback to the hippie age. This reminds me of the late sick. I mean, how old are you?
54.
Oh, you wouldn't remember. I'm 74. I remember the late 60s and early 70s. It was, it was all about free food. It wasn't about free love. It was about free food, I can assure you.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? Food.
Well, that's more important than free love.
Free love gets a bit.
You get a bit tired and you get a bit hungry.
Yeah.
You get the munchies.
It gets a bit creepy after a while. <doesn't>
yeah. I won't go down that.
That went sour, didn't it? That whole idea of free love.
Like, yeah, it was basically blokes ripping off women, basically, and we pretended it was something new.
Yeah.
It was nothing. It was just bloke exploiting women. It was very simple.
That old chestnut
comes up all the time.
It gets tired, doesn't it?
It does get tiring, yes.
I know. Anyway,
Now you want me to be tough on you. I'm going to ask you a few questions. All right, what year were you born?
71. You should have figured that out. You're 10 years older than me. Yeah. 74. What were you,
54? Oh, you're too young, sorry.
Too young for what?
I'm not taking you out. You're too young.
You're
just a chicken.
I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting you to take me out.
Weren't you?
Take me out like... Shoot me, do you mean?
Yes.
Take me out like that.
Yeah. It's a double, double entendre. Isn't that
now
what comedy
that
is?
Would
isn't
be,
that comedy all about?
Is that what the
air?
Podcast is?
Yeah, on air, on air. You talk about snuff movies. We're going to do a snuff podcast. Yeah. What do you reckon, Daryl?
Is that why you were struggling to find guests? Word has got out that you take people out. it's not actually a bad idea.
Don't tell them.
You can't shush me when I'm talking into a microphone that goes out on radio.
Can't you?
Well,
especially when it's live.
You can't. That'd be like me saying, can you keep a secret?
Can you keep a secret?
I can keep a secret.
Can I tell you a secret?
Well, it's not going to be a real secret if you're talking about
it on
radio.
No, I'm
going to
tell you a secret. I heard about this great critical comedy festival.
Oh, fantastic.
And they don't charge you to go in and they give you food.
I know.
And you can buy alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
That's wild. I think it's 110 Grey Street from memory.
Are you sure we're not hallucinating?
I am not sure I'm not hallucinating. Yeah.
What I love about the Festival of Critical Comedy is it starts at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And we couldn't expect you bastards to wake up in the morning, could we?
No, doors open at 1, show starts at 2.
It starts at 2.
It starts at 2, but we want to have you seated. You know, it's annoying to have stragglers, so... You know, we're hoping people will give us the respect that we're giving them. We're feeding people.
Yeah,
we're offering like a good 2 days worth of thought-provoking comedy.
Right. You know? And how many venues are running at once? How many rooms?
No, we're just the one. And
one room. They better get there early because it'll be packed.
Well, what we figured, there was some discussion of running two shows simultaneously, but we didn't think we'd have the audience to split.
Garbage. You get everybody listening to this live interview right now will be there on Saturday and Sunday.
Fantastic.
Because if the word free is attached to anything, they are there.
What about stimulating, thought-provoking comedy?
Do you want actually people not to come?
Oh, okay.
I mean, stimulating, thought-provoking
comedy. It's free and someone gets their tits out.
Yeah, that type of thing.
It's critical. No, that's the opposite of critical.
Well, that's what I love about Melbourne comics. It's all about fart jokes and tit jokes and dick jokes and clitoris jokes, I've noticed.
Yeah, look, comedy, particularly open mic comedy, is a race to the bottom. There's no doubt about that. But we're trying to challenge that.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to,
How did you start on this journey of being a comedian?
Me? Yeah. Oh, cynicism.
Cynicism. Were you the school clown or something?
No, not at all. I was pretty shy, but I had noticed if I mumbled something, it was funny. One of the loud people would often rip me off. And I hated them for it, but I thought, you must think I'm funny. But anyway, I sat on it for a long time. I didn't start comedy till I was 40.
Excuse me, 40?
40.
What did you do for the first 40 years of your life?
I don't know, fuck up.
How did you fuck up?
Oh, just,
I mean, people want a bit of, a bit of spice.
Well, I was a social worker.
You're a social worker. I forgive you. You were a social worker.
Yeah.
Were you know the old joke.
Oh, how many social workers does it take to change a light bulb?
No. The difference between a social worker and a Doberman.
No, I haven't heard this one.
The Doberman eventually lets go of the child. It's very depressing. No, look, we're laughing.
It's funny. No, it's good.
It's very depressing work, it is.
But you didn't let me finish the light bulb one. How many social workers does it take to change a light bulb?
Is it like the anarchists?
It's one, but you've got to want to change.
You've got to want to change. Well, the anarchist joke is how many anarchists it takes to change a light bulb?
How
10.
Many? Yeah.
1 to take down the bowl and 9 to tell them how to do it.
Fantastic. No. How many comedians does it take to change a light bulb?
They work in the dark, they can't be bothered.
No, it takes 7. 1 to try and change it and the 6 to say, how long's he been up there for?
Oh.
I think I've come to the end of them.
So you did nothing for the first 40 years of your life. How long were you a social worker for?
Oh, God. All right. You really want to know?
Of course. You've got 56 minutes to fill.
I graduated in 97 from the University of Queensland. And
my old alma mater.
Is it? Yeah.
Wow.
And I got to the end of the social work degree and my life was in
shatters. Excuse me.
Shatters.
Were you born in Queensland?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Dubbo.
What were you doing in Queensland?
Well, you tend to leave Dubbo.
But people tend to leave Queensland.
Well, I did.
You did, right.
I did.
Right.
I did. No, I finished the degree and then I just thought I don't want to be a social worker.
How long was the degree? How many years?
4.
And in those days you were paying for that, weren't you?
Yeah.
You still got a hex debt?
Yes. I got such a hex debt. So because I finished that and I said, I don't want to be a social worker. Right. I want to be an artist.
You want to be an artist with a capital A.
Yeah. So I went to Sydney and I applied to get into Sydney College of the Arts.
Uh-huh.
With all these paintings I did while I was on the dole. So it was all these like little, yeah, anyway.
No, hang
brag,
on.
Brag. And they let me in. They fucking let me in. I was so excited. No, it was like
can I take you down? Take it down.
Good. I never.
What are you trying? You're not going to pepper spray me, are you?
I've got a glue stick here.
A glue stick? What do you want a blue stick for? Do you sniff it, do you?
No, I had a glue stick in my pocket. I told you it was disorganized. I don't know why I've got a glue stick in my pocket.
Yeah, I don't know why you're trying.
I was making tarot cards.
Are you trying to put glue in my lips to shut me up, are you?
No,
I don't blame you.
I've not thought of that, but the tagline is I love sticky situations.
I love sticky situations. Glue stick. Darryl, you can't make this up, can you? It's like we're part of the comedy festival already. She's got a glue stick. She was filled with the stick, and I thought it was your angina tablets. You're getting a bit of angina.
I've got acute angina. No, I don't know why I've got a glue stick in my pocket.
Right. Okay. So
just pleased to see you.
So you did arts.
I got into the Sydney College of the Arts. Yes. And I swanned around Roselle, Sydney College of the Arts, for 4 years going, I am an artist, which is, you know, lovely and novel and everything. Yeah. But then you leave art school.
You're not much of an artist. You didn't think about taping a banana to a wall and getting $9 million, did you?
No, I have a feeling that if I taped the banana to the wall, I wouldn't have got any money for it.
You're kidding.
I don't think so.
It's like you'd be charged with defacing property.
Well, I tried to be an artist after art school. I'd go down to, there was markets on Alexandra Parade, and I'd buy lots of stuff. You know, you could buy a lot of like picture frames for $2.
Yep.
And then I got myself a glass cutter.
Yep.
And I cut all these little squares myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this little machine that spun stuff, and I'd pour nail polish onto these bits of glass, and then I'd sandwich press them together. And I thought, I just wanted to go overseas. I was 30 and I'd never been anywhere, you know, because once this
Hang on, you went from Dubbo to Brisbane to Sydney.
Yes.
And you're saying that's nowhere.
Well, I hadn't, like, the rest of the world was like, this Swedish girl in art school, you know, was going, oh, it's easy to travel. All you need is $2,000 and your airfare. And I'm like, I don't fucking $2,000 ever,
right.
Much less that plus an airfare.
Right.
That might be fucking easy for you. It wasn't for me. And I just felt, you know, anyway, I left art school and I still didn't have a lot of money.
Mm.
But I thought, if I can sell these coasters for $5 each, if I make 1,000 of these coasters and I'd lug them down to Glebe Markets.
Yeah.
And because they were cheap, no one was interested. That's the thing. If I charged a lot, people would go, this might be something. Because I was like $5.
No. Look, Glebe Market in those days was full of trendies.
It really was.
You should have gone to the pubs.
I should have. And
they would have felt sorry for you and given you $5 and not taken the coaster.
Anyway, long story longer. One day I was coming back from the markets and the sole of my Blundstone boots like split.
Excuse me, you got no money and you've got bloodstones.
How
did that happen?
I'd had them for years.
Oh, that's what they all say.
Yeah, all right, okay. I was secretly very wealthy and I'm just spinning a yarn.
Right.
No, the boot, my boots.
The flap started flapping.
Started flapping.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin style.
Yeah, and I've got arms of
Is that
these.
When you became a comedian, you thought?
Oh, no, at this stage it hadn't even really entered my like thought process, you know. Right, like so, I sort of had, but not much. All like right.
Excuse me, this is radio. Nobody can see you flapping your arms. Just
see. All right, I'm just reliving this moment. I was walking back home. My boot had just blown out. I've got my arms full of old picture frames and I've just gone, oh, fuck this. I've got to get a job. And I had a social work degree.
Right.
So then I went, I thought maybe I could like combine social work and art. I thought, you know, and you know, it interviews people, you go, I got a fine arts degree, and they like file that under who gives a shit.
Right.
And here's your caseload. Yeah. You know. So but I went to London to be a social worker. So
you didn't do any social work here, you had to go to London.
No, in Sydney I worked for Bernardo's in Sydney for
Seriously, how hard is that, being a social worker, trying to navigate the system?
Well, I was young at the time and, you know.
Keen.
Keen, yeah. It wears you down pretty quickly. Like, it's the bureaucracy is what wears you down. The, you know, the changing of the letterheads and just nothing actually changing and just seeing the same stories play out and people getting shat on and, you know, it just hurts your soul after a while.
It does. It is soul-destroying work. It is very hard because you're pushing shit uphill basically because you're trying to make a difference and the institutions which are theoretically there to help basically hinder all the way.
Yeah, look, what did I used to say in one of the places I worked at? Like I started to feel like I was just like a state bureaucrat that was there to like hand out the tissues.
Yeah, you know,
I was just going around and, you know, I was just like a smiley face, just going there. I know we said we could help, but we spent all the money on helping on the brochures that say we could help.
Yeah. Now look, this, you're very lucky. It's 4:31.
Yeah.
Halfway through, we do a station announcement, which allows you to drink a bit of water.
Fantastic.
This is
fantastic. Too many times. No, tops. I mean, tops.
You are fantastic, and I'm a what am I called? Well, they call those people that are chronic. I'm a chronic confabulator. Now, we're chatting to Sophie Prince on Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. This program is podcast, and we thank Sophie profusely because the guest we had lined up is unavailable, but Shirley chucked Sophie into the deep end. Thank you, Shirley. Now, Sophie, you went to London.
I did.
What year was that?
Oh, God.
No, God can't help in this studio.
You could still smoke in pubs.
Oh, it was 98?
No, was it 2000? No, it was past 2000.
Right.
Hang on. About 2005.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask this to somebody, but it was in Sydney in the year 2000. Did you see the fireworks?
The Olympics and stuff.
No, the year 2000, you know.
Did I? Yeah.
Yeah, 31st of, you know, 31st of December and then the 1st of January to the new century.
Oh, what happened? Oh, that night, that was, oh, I was a mess. I got stoned in the park and then picked up an Irish fella and I should have gone to Bondi, but we ended up in Coogee and that was just dumb. And then, but he did have a lot of weed and a bunch of beer and it was... Yeah, and then I drove up to the North Coast, but I remember on the first day of the new millennial, I was in a motel in Kempsey and I was watching like all the, you know, the revelers.
Yep.
And I was just like, why is everything just a little bit shit for me? You know, like I missed out. I had so many options and I just pulled the wrong rein. Anyway, woe is me.
Well, the good thing is you blamed yourself, not the universe. Most people blame the universe for this predicament.
I'm still hopeful that the universe will swing my way.
Well, you went to London, didn't it? Swing your way in London?
Look, it was a good learning experience, you know.
What do you mean, learning experience?
Learning curve, I suppose. Well, my second social work job. So when I was at art school, I did like disability support work, but that's not really social work. I worked in Hounslow in family placements.
Right.
I learned that I was used to waiting for buses for a long time and the English aren't.
Right.
Oh, the first time I saw the like people getting on the tube, I was half an hour late for work because the doors of the train had opened and it was packed and I was no one can get in that. I'll wait for the next one. It left and then the next one come along and the doors open. And it was packed. No one can get in that. And, yeah, that happened for half an hour before I squeezed myself on.
And did they laugh at you when you got to work when you told them?
No one gave a shit about you. It was just like, you know, and it wasn't electronic in those days either. It was just like... You know, like two, oh, no one can see me again. It's like
2 feet of
2 feet
case files.
Yeah. And it was like, here, manage this, don't fuck up.
Yeah.
And it's more cutthroat in England than here because if there's a horrible travesty, they come after the individual, the you know, gutter press, you know, come after like, you know, so. It's not here. If something goes bad, they'll say, you know, Department of Community Services or whatever, like their fuck up. Whereas there, they'll go, you're a bad person.
Did you bring that newspaper front page for us to look at?
What newspaper front page?
The one you were on in London.
Shut up.
You never made it.
No.
So you did a good job. You did a good job. You never made it to the front page of the Murdoch Media. It was the Daily Mirror.
It was really angsty. It was really angsty times. And my boyfriend didn't last because we lived in a tiny little flat, and you know, I'd just come home talk about work, and he was just like, "No, let's
go out.
Let's go out. Let's have a good time. Let's go to France. Let's go to this. Let's go to that." And I was just debriefing, and you know, you're young, you don't. Well, this is really boring radio now, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's good. This is what makes good radio.
Well, I was a young social worker. And when you're a young social worker, you don't get that other people, like, just want to live their lives. And you're being, you know, I could really kill a dinner party, you know. So, and then if it wasn't a dinner party, it was just my boyfriend, poor bugger. And I just bought him silly. It was just debriefing. Whereas now, maybe they train him better now. Like, now it would be like, spare your loved ones.
Yeah, well, if I was your boyfriend, I'd give you a bill at the end of the session.
Well,
that would have given you the hint, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But I didn't know, and I just come home. And
so how long did you last in London for?
Oh, I was there for about 3 years.
That's a long time.
And then I remember, that's when I started thinking about comedy.
That's 2008.
I lived across the road from Bill Bailey.
Ah, could you explain who Bill Bailey is to
people? Bill Bailey, the comic, you know, the English comic. He was in Black Books and stuff, you know. And my boyfriend at the time used to say that I look a bit like Tamsin Gregg, who was also in Black Books. You know, I don't think I do, but he, you know, it's just one of those things that he'd say. And, you know, I took it. And then we lived on the side of Hammersmith Grove, where, like, the big places were divided up into flats. Yeah. But he lived on the posh side of Hammersmith Grove, I imagine.
Well, he was a successful comedian, unlike you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm imagining that he had, like, you know, like his whole building to himself kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, so I passed him. And you know how you get into these fantasies in your head? You know,
Bill Bailey.
Not about Bill Bailey.
Oh, thank God for that.
No,
I was a bit worried there.
I was like, I wonder.
He lives in a posh house, you know, and he makes people laugh.
Because I pass him regularly. The first little fantasy that took me to the tube was that Tamsin Gregg couldn't make it to Black Books, and he spotted this girl who looked a bit like Tamsin Gregg, and he'd go, excuse me, are you free? Because, like, that was one little fantasy.
And did that?
You know, no, of course it didn't happen.
No, right, okay.
And then the next one was, and then I started thinking about being a stand-up. You know, you're telling funny stuff in your head. Right. And it'd either, the fantasy would either wind up, you know, just like your worst embarrassing moment sort of thing, or victorious, you know. So I ruminated on that for years.
Years? How long?
Oh, because I was terrified to get – well, when I come back to Melbourne
– When was that, 2010 or something?
Something like that. So I come back to Melbourne because I was going to study art therapy. Yeah, because I thought no one's going to hire me as a social worker.
What's happening to your hex debt? I'm a bit worried
about it. It's huge. It's massive. I'll just never pay it. I'll just.
Well, you could become a successful comedian.
I could. Yeah. I've got as much chance of that as paying off my hex debt.
Oh, really?
But I harboured the idea of it. I went to this spleen gig, and it was before that bloke Chandler, nasty pasty is, before he actually took it over. And it was just like a divey open mic, like was set up with tables and stuff. It wasn't the schmick sort of asshole place that it is now.
No, that's not a nice thing to say.
Sorry.
We haven't been there. I don't know. It could be a brilliant place for all I know. Could suit me.
You were right to pull me up.
Yeah, I was right to pull you up. You sound like a cynical comedian.
All right, okay. I went and I looked at the comics and stuff and I wish I started then. I said to myself, I'll do that when I'm 40. By the time I'm 40, I'll have the confidence to do that, you know.
Did you start looking at the mirror and started talking to yourself?
No, I just become an alcoholic.
Oh,
you know, I just...
Really?
I just followed bars are like, I wish because you'll do whatever you tell yourself you're going to do. Instead of giving me that 4 years just to be dysfunctional, I wish I just went, you know what, next month I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, because then, you know.
So did you have a real alcohol addiction?
I was pretty messy. I was a very functional drinker. So I worked on Smith Street. And it was a bit of a pub crawl. So you could cross, there was Kent Street was next door.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you'd wander down to, there was just, then there's Johnson Street and the Barleycorn
I like to apologise.
Well, no, that's okay.
Bringing you back to Smith Street.
Yeah.
We are at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy. Did it bring back bad memories?
No, it brought back good memories. Like, I was a bit heckly. I'd go to open mic nights and I was a bit awful.
Right.
Not regularly and not in a mean way, but just in an alcoholic way.
Like, you're not funny. Yeah. Piss off.
No, I don't think it was like that. I think it was just more just messy. So anyway, I don't talk about that. It was a really long time ago. And I maintained employment, but I was, you know.
As a social worker?
I don't want to go into
that. No, that's fine. When did you think that you could be a comedian? Not just dream.
Oh, well, when I turned 40, it was like, well, you got to shit or get off the pot, really.
Right.
So I just went into the Comics Lounge one day and they were doing these workshops.
Yeah.
And it all started there, really. And then there was a place in Richmond that I really enjoyed going to called Station 59. And I just found my people, you know, like just misfits. You know,
misfits.
Like, absolute.
Are you suggesting everybody this weekend coming down at the Unitarian Church who's performing is a misfit?
Of varying degrees, yes.
And what is a misfit?
Well, I think maybe that's where humour gets honed I had a theory that the comedians were either bullied or they were bullies.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's a broad range of different personality types that come under the umbrella of comedian. And I'm including open mic comedians here as well.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a certain portion of them that go on to some sort of commercial success. But even those people, I think, in the early days were still a misfit.
Right.
That's my theory anyway.
Well, they didn't fit into the mainstream society.
No, until they did, like in some sort of branch off and, organised enough to fit in somewhere. I don't know, like.
Is it a kind of a passage of youth or something or life or?
Maybe. People start at all different ages. I think the young people sort of look at the older people like, you know, loser.
Like they look at us here at 3CR. People look at Daryl and me as if we should have retired years ago.
For sure. But, I mean, I think that's what being young is anyway. I mean, that's what's hard about getting old is realising how ageist you were when you were younger. So.
Well, you're at the other end of the end of the stick, aren't you, as you get old, you think.
Yeah.
Did I really think that about old people?
Yeah.
Did I really nearly run over that 84-year-old who was crossing the pedestrian crossing who wasn't fast enough and I beeped the horn at him? Did I do that? And then when somebody beeps the horn at you, you wave your walking stick and get angry, eh?
Well, it's just so different. Like the youth.
Are they youth of today? I was waiting for that.
Well, I mean, I can remember life without the internet. Like,
excuse me, you can remember.
I can.
I can remember life before mobile phones.
Yeah.
I can remember life before television.
I know. So it's not a pissing competition here. Like,
well, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Like, I can remember when we lived in a shoebox. Remember that routine?
Well, where is it going to go? Like, the kids that have kids now, if we make it that far, like, you know, they're going to be born into a world with robots. Like, it blows me away that drones are killing people.
Yeah. Look, isn't it nice, better than stabbing somebody and looking them in the face?
But that's happening too.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if we get stabby drones, just the cheap drones, they'll wield a knife.
Forget about drones. I've done a little bit of research in this. There's a new weapon coming out.
Fantastic.
It's what you do is you drop this bomb, right?
Mm. Mm.
But it explodes, but it doesn't hurt anybody. And there's about 1,000 little projectiles which are programmed specifically to kill certain groups. For example, males between 20 and 40. And they whiz around all over the place until they find a male is 20 or 40 and then they go through them. This is the new weapons that have been designed.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. People don't understand these are available.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall of the meetings that design these
That's
things?
Right, yeah. Well, they
must
make
be
a
like the descendants of the people who, you know, those torture devices that, you know, they put someone in that bull and then hear them moan and groan.
You know, the great thing about war today is you can sit at Pine Gap and you press a button and 10,000 kilometres away, somebody gets blown to bits.
It's just horrific, isn't it?
You remove the human element from murder.
Oh,
isn't it great?
You should
do a comedy segment about it.
Because what's funnier than mass murder?
That's right.
As a kid, I was fearful of wars. I don't know. I had no experience of it.
We're very lucky.
But I thought, that will be solved by the time I'm an adult, surely. You grow up and you don't fight. But it's gotten worse.
Could I tell you something really sad?
Go on.
World War One was fought. It was the war to end all wars. And that was over 105 years
That's the talk that I saw you give at Footscray Hotel. And I was fascinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was because it's a trade war, wasn't it?
That's a trade war, yeah. But, I mean, that's what people went in for. They thought, we're going to stop war forever.
But that's what they were sold.
Yeah, that's what sold, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a trade war. And then World War II, it's more of the same. And now it's more of the same. It just feels
So we do it for God, King and Country.
Well,
you don't do it for God, King or Country.
Yeah, see, this is why I'm so into gardening now. I just I can't trust anything that I hear or see. I like planting stuff and watching it grow.
Loser. Loser, you're trying to feed the world. Loser, you're not going to make any money doing that. You've got to get in the arms industry. That's the way to make money these days.
I kind of want a bunker. You know what? I think I want to get some camels.
Camels?
Yeah.
What about camels? I'm familiar with camels. They're not as pleasant as they look. They do bite. They can be very aggressive.
Maybe they bite you. There's a camel I know.
You ever try to milk a camel?
That's why they bite you. You're trying to touch its tits. I'd bite you too.
You know, you can get camel milk soap and camel milk's good for you.
Look at all these
people in the Middle East that have survived on camels. Central Australia in camels.
And you wonder why they're aggressive towards you.
Yeah, I'm playing with their tits.
Yeah, the camel that I've met. He's just lovely. I give him.
Nobody's tried to milk him, have they?
No. I think there's a lady one too. I bring them carrots and scratch them behind their ear and talk about the world.
Is this the camel farm?
It's not a camel farm. It's kind of an odd hobby farm. So I'm smack in between the thirsty camel and an actual camel.
Right.
As fate would have it. I'm listening to my good self, I go and feed the camel some carrots.
What are you growing in the garden today?
I've just a little flat.
Yeah.
Sunflowers. Yep. Right into sunflowers. Poppies. I've got my first lot of poppies.
Yeah. I'm a bit confused. You're between two lots of camels in a flat. How did that happen?
Oh, because it's a long street. So Mildura, it's a funny town. It's got lots of its streets are numbered because I think the people who colonized it first were these I think they're American or Canadian. I can't remember.
Right.
It was all about irrigation.
Right.
So some of the streets are all numbered. You got 7th 8th, 9th, you know how numbers work.
Yep, yep.
I'm on 11th.
Right.
And it's really long street. And then the other streets are like, you know, pine and walnuts and, you know, because it's, you know, there's lots of...
Oh, we don't care.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'd never heard of Mildura.
Sorry.
I thought Mildura was orange juice until I moved there. But
and you realise it wasn't. The orange juice comes from Brazil.
So, yeah. So it's a long street. If you walk up one way, there's a camel.
Look,
if you
walk
up...
You're not going to believe this. We've got about 10 minutes to go. What I really want to know is what type of gigs, apart from the MC, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but what type of gigs are you doing at the minute?
There's a weekly open mic stand-up at the Sets in Mildura.
Right.
And it's horrible. Like, I love it, but it's the hardest. The venue hates us. The staff hate us. The audience, we're just, they don't want us to, well, sometimes, mostly they're just in there to eat. We've been trying to get it going since about May. The comics are great. There's shout out to Scott Horn and Carol Maysbach. And who else comes along? Oh, Ben Murphy is it's pure open mic,
and it's
soul destroying.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm doing.
Do you have one of those nets that people can throw beer bottles at in front of you?
We should have, you know. But anyway, it's early days. We crack on. But
so what day is that? Somebody's in Mildura?
it's on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And if it's still going by the time I get back, it's on Thursdays. It starts too early. It starts at 7.
People are feeding their faces. They don't care.
No, that's it. But it's the only venue that would let us get on. So I should be grateful for that, I suppose. But yeah, it's pushing shit uphill.
Yeah.
But you know, grateful for the stage. It's given me a chance to meet the other local misfits.
Right.
You know, we're a type.
Right.
People who do comedy, we are a type.
Mm.
And, yeah, so that's... I've met the most beautiful people.
Yeah, they sound good. I mean, in regional Victoria, to actually get up, stand up in front of a community that recognises you, it's not as if in Melbourne you've got 5.5 million people.
That's it.
You know, if you shit yourself in front of the audience, nobody gives a...
That's it.
But in Mildura,
that's
it's different.
It.
They know you, or they know your brother, or they know your mother.
You know? There was a crew that came through doing dark comedy and... Yeah, I got on that bill right at the last minute. But I would have been dirty if I didn't get on that bill. They're all like Melbourne comics. I know them from here. And
They owe you.
I figured. But anyway, I should, they did let me on the bill in the end. So, great people, wonderful. Thanks, Dan Breda. That was awesome. So, thanks for eventually giving me the spot. Thanks, Mark Oshka, for not turning up.
Anybody else we need to thank? Your mum, your dad?
No, yeah. I don't even tell them about comedy.
You don't.
Because I love them.
And they keep saying to you, when are you going to get a real job?
No, I got both. So who do I shout out to? Thank you, Shira Lee Hood. I thought I was going to meet you here. Shira Lee Hood is doing a show on Sunday.
Is she?
Yorbo the Clown. That's going to be quite something. Trigger warning. Come and see that.
Yeah.
Doppelganger. Who else have we got? Sorry, I've probably missed a lot of people.
Oh, I'm sure you missed a lot of people. People, you can't tell them everything.
Me, Apophenia.
What time are you on?
I'm two. I'm kicking the whole thing off and then emceeing the full Saturday.
So you're starting?
I'm starting at 2
You're the
o'clock.
Starting act?
Yes.
That's a tough spot to be in.
Oh, not so much because...
You're hoping nobody will be there at 2 o'clock?
I'm not hoping. I'm not banking on it, but I'm assuming.
It'll be okay.
It
happens at once. It should be full by two.
You never know.
It's free and there's food. Come on.
That's it.
If you can't get people, if you
food.
Can't fill the room up.
It's a killer venue too. It's got a skylight.
Yeah.
It'll be the second Saturday in a row that I've performed in a pub, in a venue with a skylight. I was at the Cherry Tree Poets last Saturday and it had a skylight.
It does have a skylight.
Beautiful pub and it's getting
down
knocked
at Burnley.
Getting knocked down.
That must be 100. I used to go to the Cherry Tree in the 70s when it was full of crims. What's going on? They're going to knock it down.
They are.
That's how gentrified it's become.
It's horrible.
The Cherry Tree.
Yeah. It was a killer venue, like really wild wallpaper, this skylight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was there with a bunch of poets. You're looking at the clock.
No, I'm not looking at the clock. I'm just amazed the cherry trees. I thought it would never close down.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too. It's like the first time I've been there and, yeah.
First
time I've been there, yeah.
You closed it down, did you?
No, no.
Are you sure you didn't close it down? Come on.
No,
you go have you got a history of going to venues and they close them down the week after?
No, although I was the last person ever to get frog marched out of the Oxford in Newtown before it got closed down. That's my claim to fame.
Were you frog marched out?
Well, I'd been mugged that night.
Right, they frog marched, they blamed you.
No, I'd been mugged on Cleveland Street and just before an art exhibition, so I was really anxious, so I threw down wines like they were shots.
Oh, right.
And then by the time I got to the Oxford, I was rat faced, and I couldn't stand up in the toilet, and I was asking for help. And by the time help came, it was a pair of bouncers, and I was just like, "Oh, help me!" And they were like,
"Yeah, we'll show you the door."
Yeah, they did. They just threw me out.
And no wonder they knocked down the hotel.
Yeah.
Now, can I assure the listeners that are coming on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
That you will not be shit-faced.
Absolutely not. I'm emceeing. Right. I'm very, very professional. And they were like, that was, I'm telling old tales.
Right.
No, very professional, very grateful for their attendance. We want members.
Members.
Awkward Giraffe wants members. We want this whole idea of critical comedy to take off. And
So it's a real organisation.
It's a real organisation.
And you want members.
We want members. We want people who want to be on a committee. I can't be on a committee. Have you ever been on a committee?
Don't talk about it. It's hell.
Yeah, I don't. But if you've got like fresh ideas and you want to take the Festival of Critical Comedy somewhere, come along.
You may find this hard to believe, but I've been dragooned as a member.
Have you? Yes.
Yeah, I'm on the board.
You're doing an arguments booth.
Shh. I don't want anybody to turn up.
Oh.
Well, I am doing an arguments booth because people keep ringing me on Talkback and they're giving me shit.
That's one of our star attractions.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. And we're making you a booth, an arguments
That's right.
Booth.
I said I'm... When Jeremy asked me, I said, I want a booth.
Yes.
If I don't get a booth, I'm not coming.
I know.
So you're making me a booth.
Jeremy is. He's going to great lengths.
It's
going to
break
down.
He's been
arguing with staff at Bunnings about it and everything in a very polite
way. Yeah, I did ask for a booth. I said, you know, if you want me to do an argument segment, I need a booth. I need to look, you know,
argumentative. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they get a 10-minute argument. I'll be there from 2 to...
I'm buying an argument.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to have an argument with you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we're good. But you've got to pay $10 to the Awkward Giraffe.
I will. I'll do it for the cause.
Of course, you've got to do it for the cause.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen? You should be emceeing. What's the point of arguing with me in between?
Are you on Saturday or
Sunday? Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm not MC on Sunday.
Oh, that's why you got a co-MC.
I'm doing some tarot card readings. I've made my own tarot cards.
Oh, maybe you can read my tarot cards.
I will.
Yeah.
And then we can argue about it.
Well, you can argue.
Oh.
Maybe I won't listen.
That is not the fool.
Two to seven, I'll be there.
Okay.
10 minutes each. So that's, what's that, 6 an hour?
Yeah.
That's what, 2 to 7, 5 hours? That's 30 arguments. I can do 30 arguments. I, Daryl?
That's a great idea.
I can do 30 arguments.
Oh, easy.
Yeah,
easy.
I do 30 arguments in an hour on Thursday. Now, it's been a pleasure meeting you, Sophie.
Yeah.
I remember you from last critical comedy, but...
This has been fun.
I've never really spoken to you because you were so busy last time.
Yeah.
And it really has been a pleasure.
It has been fun. I'm disappointed I didn't catch up with Shirley, but I'll catch up with Shirley on Sunday.
She's like that.
Yeah.
She's like that. She sends people into the pit and she just laughs at them. But no, it's really good to... Look, you get all types of people on this program and sometimes it's very, very sad stories. And obviously, you know, it's the old comedy thing, isn't it? You've got the laughing face and the sad face and everybody's got that type of life. But some people, somehow they don't see the laughter in their life. And it's really been a pleasure talking to you, really, because you've got both faces.
Oh, thank
and you've
you.
Been able to... cope with it and get on with your life. And that's what it's all about.
Hopeful cynicism.
Yeah, hopeful cynicism. Very good. Disorganised hopeful cynicism.
Very disorganised.
You're very organised.
No, I'm not.
You're very hopeful.
Need my glue stick.
What do you want your glue stick for?
I'm making tarot cards.
Oh, right, you're making tarot cards. Look, we better get rid of this guest, Daryl. She's making me laugh.
Thank you very much.
No problem, Joe. You have been listening to Radical Australia with presenter Joe Toscano and special guest Sophie Prince here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial, online at 3cr.org.au, and this program is being podcasted.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.